Well, Bernard is passing out some handouts here. Then while he's doing that, I want you to open up to two places. One is Mark chapter 4. You never heard a message out of Mark 4 in your life. And the other one is John chapter 12. Mark 4 and John 12. I taught a series several years ago called Mustard Seed Faith. Could I ask, no condemnation, but just for my own information, I think it's a 7-tape series. Tape. How long will it be before I quit saying tape? It's a 7 MP3 series or a 7 message series. It's called Mustard Seed Faith. Of course, it's at the website and it's free. How many have not heard that series? Could I see your hand? Okay, most of you have. All right. All the years I was growing up, you know, parable of the mustard seed. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and it should obey you, and nothing should be impossible to you. So, the teaching was always, see, all it takes, I'm going to make fun a little bit, my brothers and sisters, all it takes is a little faith in a big God. Woo, just a little faith the size of a grain of mustard seed is enough to move the mountain. How many of you heard messages something like that? Me too. Trouble is, when I got to studying it out myself and praying in the Holy Ghost, I never did find even one time where Jesus ever bragged on anybody for having little faith. In fact, he would say things like, oh ye of little faith. And sometimes he'd say, how is it you have no faith? You know? Not one time. But any time he bragged on that one guy, the centurion who wasn't even a Jew, you know, he said, just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. He says, I've not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. So I'm going, now wait a minute. If what they taught me is true, that he's just all this, you know, if what he's after, just a little faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, then how come it is he never does brag or say anything good about having that little mustard seed faith? There's something else to this. Well, that started me praying and meditating and looking up all the verses, and it wound up being in that 7-tape series called Mustard Seed Faith. And really, just, you know, condensing now, but there's a lot there that I would recommend you listen to those. But just condensing, what he's really talking about is the new nature and how it comes into you when you're born again. Here in Mark 4, we'll see it. It comes in like it's the smallest seed in the garden. In other words, I was 33 years old when I got saved. I'd been in the real estate business. I'd been in the construction business. I had a lot of seeds. At that time, I was an alcoholic. I had a big alcoholic tree on the inside of me. Can I say that? And it was bearing a lot of fruit. I had a pornography tree on the inside of me. I know you look at me now and you go, ooh, I wasn't like this then. Okay, I was a lot younger. And, okay, you know. And I had other things. I mean, I had pride issues I'm not talking about your trees. That's enough about my trees. Okay, so anyway, when that new nature comes in, it's like the smallest seed in the garden. Here it is planted. I saw one time in vision form, like God. Anyone ever been to the Redwoods in California? Man, no picture will ever do. I mean, it's better than nothing. But once you stand there at the foot and you look up at the general, that tallest of them. I mean, you know, anyone who can do that and not believe there is a God, I mean, it's just massive. Well, in this vision, I saw within me, like from a high-up helicopter shot, I saw like over those redwood forest, and that's a picture of Gary's spirit. Gary's ground. He had all these trees at full growth, and here comes this little mustard seed drop down. Pui! drop from a helicopter, little mustard seed down in the middle of all these giant redwoods. But see, what Jesus was teaching was this. Said, look, if you have faith to stay in there, if you can ever learn how to nurture, every seed has an image on the inside of it. Now, those redwood trees might be big, but he says, the image that's on the inside of the new nature, it has the potential to take over your whole garden. So in this vision, I saw that little plant starting to grow up right in the middle of all these giant redwood trees. But it kept getting bigger and bigger. And in the vision, it's almost like a cartoon, you know. It'd get big enough, it starts pushing those other trees out of the way, you know. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, that single tree took over my whole life. That's really what mustard seed faith is. Mustard seed faith, if you really have it, it'll keep you in the prayer closet. It'll keep you fasting. It'll keep you doing this message. There's an image on the inside of me. There's God has planted the nature of Christ in there. And if I can ever learn to keep doing those things that release that image, then more and more and more the nature of Christ takes over my whole life. And in one of these days, the fruit is going to be made available to the world. That's mustard seed faith. It's not like we were taught. It's really the opposite. It's diligence, endurance, to do whatever it takes to bring that mustard seed, that image, to full harvest. Is that good stuff or what? All right, now, in the course of this, the Lord gave me a little parable. And I teach it on one of the tapes. And then someone recently, they just took it upon themselves to transcribe that and send it to me. And they did such a nice job. I've put it at the website. And then we'll have it at ICTUS when this message comes up. And you can download this if you'd like to have it, or you can print it for others easy. Now, before we start reading this, I want you to look at... let's go ahead and do John. No, let's do Mark first. Go to Mark chapter 4. And starting in verse 14, the sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside. By the way, in the context we're teaching tonight, there is a lot of good teaching you can teach on here about sowing the word into your heart to change, you know, pulling down strongholds and changing how you think about things. But in the context of the way he's going to teach it tonight, who is the word? What happens when you get born again? Who is it that comes into you? It's the word. It's the seed of his nature. It's sown into you. All right? All right, so let's meditate it in that context here tonight. It said, the sower sows the word. You get born again. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Basically, at the altar call, they don't come. They heard the same word. You can have 20 people hear the same message. It can be exactly right. Give an altar call. And I'm talking about 20 unsaved people. The altar call is given. 3 come forward. The rest do not. The word just never, it just didn't penetrate. Satan stole it immediately. They left in the same condition they came in. Verse 16. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now, nobody in here has ever had any trouble with any of this. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on stony ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Oh boy, we're going to read it all. I don't know how much we'll comment on, but I want to get all the way down through the mustard seed here. Verse 21, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. The world, the religious world will tell you, now not the charismatic world you're used to. I'm talking about the church world that you don't have a whole lot of experience with. You'll talk to them about, are you saved? Well, that's very private between me and the Lord. In other words, they're covering up the light. If they're born again at all, they've got a pot over it. They're not letting their little light shine, as the song says. Number one, in Proverbs it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What happens when you get born again? I mean, everyone's got a spirit in them. Trouble is, it's dead when you're born in this world, the human birth. You're born spiritually dead. You've got a spirit, you've got a candlestick, but it's not lit. What happens when you get born again? Jesus comes to light your candle. Not only will the world be able to see that light, but that light begins exposing anything in you that's still darkness. That's why Dave always would give that example of going up into the attic and taking that flashlight, turning it on, shining the light in that attic, and go look at all the dirt that this light brought. See, that's what people do, praying in tongues all the time. You know, they start praying in tongues, God starts showing you the dirt. The candle is lit. It's looking around, showing you the dirt. And you go, ooh, I'm going to quit praying. I felt better about myself before I started praying. Well, yeah, and you'll stay the same too. Because not only does he expose he'll expose the dirt, but then he gives you the power to get rid of the dirt. There were so many good things in Alan's message. One of my favorites. I've never seen that picture before. He says, I thought I would just pray in tongues and the tongues would go out there and slap all the bad stuff out of me. I did too. just slapping all that bad stuff out of me. Oh, my Lord, you know. And really, Dave never taught that. Dave always said, look, he normally doesn't even show it to you until he's built you up to the place where you're above it now. And you can turn around and deal with that, whatever it is in you that's not like Christ. Dave told us, didn't he? But it takes a while for us to learn that. Anyway, back to this. We're going to run out of time. So verse 24, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now he gives two parables here. Starting in verse 26, he says, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day. Does that sound like it's instantaneous to you? I don't know any farmer. I mean, all my relatives, half my, my dad's side's from Shawnee, the other half is from Seminole, Oklahoma. Nearly all of them were farmers. You don't plow a field and sow a crop on Tuesday and expect a harvest on Thursday. And in between sowing and reaping, there is a lot of weeding to do, there is a lot of fertilizing to do, there is a lot of work to be done in between those two times. And you rise night and day, praying for rain, praying for all, you tend to nurture those seeds like they're your babies. And in the old days, you did it because your life depended on it. You better get that crop, or how are you going to make it through the winter in the old days? I mean, your life literally was tied up in that seed, yours and your children. You better get that crop in. Okay, so he's talking. Now, the same way, though, with that new nature. You get saved. You hear the message, okay, I want all the tongues to go out and just slap all the bad stuff out of me, and I want to be all together next week. You know? Well, I've been at this 15 years. Tim's been at it longer than that. I don't know about you, but he's still working on me. There's still stuff darkness that's got to go, you know? Thankfully, he doesn't show it all to us at once. We'd all run for the hills, you know? But he should sleep and rise night and day. Oh, this is so good. I love this part. The seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Oh, there's volumes right there if you get this revelation. Now, do you know, scientists, I'm an engineer. Bernard and Michelle, they're engineering. They're always looking at all the new scientific papers and everything, you know. And science has many things they can do with seeds. They've come up with all kinds of technology, but you know, with all of the science technology we have today, there's still something that man can't do. You can't make a seed grow. They can't produce a seed artificially and make it grow. Can't do it. God gives the increase. Now see, that's the thing. If we nurture the seed, that nature on the inside has the image in it. And it has the power within itself. All of God's Word is this way, but so is the Word in you this way. It has the power to produce the image that's in the seed. And you don't even know how. You just keep praying. You just come down and pray. You don't know what's going on. You just, okay, another fast. Okay, another time in the Word, another this. You're nurturing the seed, but that rascal is putting down roots. It's bringing forth the image that God put in it. And you don't even really have to know how. Mustard seed faith just keeps doing what feeds the seed. Is that good stuff or what? Hallelujah. He knows not how. For the earth, God designed, the earth is you. The earth is you. See, back over there in the first part of this parable, there was four kinds of seeds. You know, actually, no, there was one kind of seed, four kinds of ground. There was nothing wrong with any of the seed. It's always the problems with the ground. We're the ground. Sometimes you may have had a crop for a long time, but you say, I want a bigger crop. God says, we got to get out more stones. Oh, man. we got to dig deeper then. I mean, at this level, your roots can't go any deeper than they are right now. If you want to be more like Christ, we got to remove some more stones. Some more thorns down in there. You know what that's going to take, don't you? Digging and a plowing. It's going to take, you know. All right, well anyway, the earth, though, is designed to bring forth fruit of herself. First the blade. We talk about this at length in that tape series. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. Now, look up here at me. Let's think of corn. We all know what corn looks like in Oklahoma. You got corn in Oregon? Yep. Okay, you know what corn looks like. You know, I mean, it's at harvest time, you go out there and you shuck that plant. Corn is yellow, kind of yellowish white, isn't it? And it's got these little, the seeds are like almost a quarter inch cubicles, almost kind of like that, you know. But you ever notice you plant a seed, okay, you've got a yellow corn seed, it's square, sort of, kind of square, about a quarter inch. Yellow, you plant it in the ground and you're waiting for it to reproduce itself. You water it. You sing to it. I don't know what I you know. They say talk to it, you know. And when the life starts appearing, that first little shoot comes up above the ground. Now, this is good. I hope you get this. It doesn't look anything like what you planted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now, what's that green thing? I didn't plant anything that was green. What I planted was yellow. What is this? This is not what I expected, Lord. What are you doing in me now? I was praying about a new pickup. Anyway. Some of you will get that. does a blade look like corn? Can you go eat off of it? You know, I don't think you want to. But see, first the blade. And you know what happens with a lot of us? You start seeing the first little manifestations of life. It's time for me to go start my ministry. It's time for me to do... I've learned everything I've learned here. It's time for me to go out now. I've, you know, very often. Trouble is, I don't care how bad you want to. I don't care how bad you need the fruit. Boy, if you write anything down, write this down. You can't get fruit off of a blade. I don't care how bad you want it. Yeah, but I'm dying of cancer. I've got to have this. I know you're serious. You still can't get fruit off of a blade. It's not mature enough yet. That seed has not been time enough for the image. Now, God can do anything by the gifts. We're not talking about the gifts. We're talking about transformation. Transformation that brings the same fruit. Amen? All right? Boy, it took me a long time to get that. It took him a long time to get it across to me. No matter how bad they need it, no matter how bad you want it, you can't get fruit off of a blade. You got to get back in there and pray. Get back in there and get in the Word. Let him deal with you on the real things that's got to be changed. Okay. First the blade, then the ear. Now, an ear, again, I've got so many, I've played in cornfields growing up my whole life. You know, all my relatives, we'd go visit and go out in the cornfields. And I've seen those little ears of corn when they're starting to develop. You can pluck one off, shuck the little thing, little old ear in there about 3 inches long. Now, it's got a little bit, I don't know what to call them, but niblets. It's got little white things on it. You know, it's the beginning of corn. But man, they're hard. You can't hardly chew them. You could start trying, you know, you start trying to eat that stuff. Man, it would take you a truckload of niblets, you know, to make one piece of cornbread. I mean, that's why a lot of times it takes a whole church and everybody praying at once, we get the miracle. God's gathering faith here and there. He's gathering faith. He's finding what it takes to, you know, it may take 400 niblets. Okay, but the lesson there, you can get fruit. How does he say it? A stalk versus the blade? No, you can get fruit off of an ear. But normally it's small and bitter. Small and bitter. All right. But what he's teaching here is, look, you can continue on. If you ever learn really what mustard seed faith is, boy, I'm going to have to go a little bit. But what he wants is, listen, you don't have to stop at the blade level. You don't have to stop at the first little level of ear. The first, no. What he's after is that we continue on with that mustard seed faith until we have that full corn in the ear. That is 2 Corinthians 3, what is it, 18? Hang on, let me look real quick. I didn't have that marked. The definition of, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Here's the full corn in the ear. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the what? Same image. And that image is what was sown in you when you got born again. The same image. And it's up to us, anywhere along the way, what we decide to do with that, with nurturing that image. Okay? All right. One more. This is one we were after. I like to do things in context. Can you tell? Verse 30. So he gives them another parable. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. Again, for tonight's teaching, we're talking about the new nature. Which, when it is sown in the earth is you, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, now, assuming that you're not one of these grounds that he mentioned back here, which one of the four grounds brought forth fruit 30, 60, 100 fold? Only the fourth one, only that good ground, see? But when it is sown, so this is in the good ground, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Alright. Go over to John chapter 12 now. This is right before Jesus was about to be crucified, not too long before. Jesus answered them saying, or verse 23, John 12, 23. Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now he's talking about himself being the seed, isn't he? All right, and he's about to go to the cross. I mean, he is literally going to die. But then he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And I always had trouble with this verse until he gave me this parable. We're about this next phrase. Until he gave me this parable. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. In context, follow you where? This is a test I'm asking. Follow you to death. He said in another place, Luke, I believe it is, where he says, if any man wants to be my disciple and hateth not his own life, cannot be my disciple. You can be saved, you can go to heaven, but you can't be his disciple. If you're still here at this church after all the kitchen sinks the devil's thrown at you, I know you want more than going to heaven. You want to be his disciple. All right, so there is this death. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Glory to God. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. All right, that's enough now. I was teaching on mustard seed faith, just having a good time. You know, of course, you know, it's over a period of days, and you go back to your room, and you pray, and you walk the floor, and then you go minister, you know. Very often, during those times in between those sessions when you're praying and you're rolling the whole message over and thinking about it and looking at all the verses again, that's very often when the Lord will start giving you revelation knowledge, either by vision, by His voice, start leading you through the Scriptures in a way you've never seen before. Well, in this particular case, I saw this parable. I mean, I just saw it in an instant. And I began writing it out just exactly as if I was the little seed itself. Now, we're going to read this. I'm going to read it, and you've got a copy to follow along with. This is the parable of a mustard seed. This is like your new nature on the inside of you. But it's also the wrestling that the soul has with this dying business. Okay? So there was a tiny mustard seed who was greatly depressed. Now, by the way, before we start this, I did my research on mustard. The mustard seed that we grow in America is very different from the mustard seed that they have in Israel. The mustard seed in America, if you go to online and just start looking at mustard plants and looking at them, most of the time here, they don't grow. They look more like sagebrush. You ever see sagebrush? It's about knee high, you know, and it has these yellow flowers all over it. But the ones in Israel are completely different. They actually are more like trees. They'll grow 10 to 15 feet tall. And they have it's been a while since I looked it up. There's a long gestation period. The first year they don't grow hardly at all. Second year they don't grow hardly at all. But all of a sudden, the way those plants are, in 1 year, they really shoot up. And they can get like 10 to 15 feet tall. And they become the kind of a tree that even the birds can come and build nests in and everything. So it's much different than our sagebrush type here, okay? So he says, there was a tiny mustard seed who was greatly depressed because compared to all the other types of seeds that he saw, he was the tiniest. And this is like people in church. A lot of times they'll look around at everybody else and they'll, well, you know, God's using Jason and God's using Alan and God's using this one and that one and I'm just the tiniest little mustard seed of all, you know. Well, anyway. And then we do kind of complain. Gosh, I'm always amazed how the Holy Spirit does this, because what was Alan's message? Alan was saying, look, if you do your job, if it's just between you and God, when it's God's times to exalt you, man cannot keep you from being exalted. God, and this is picking right up on that. See, I didn't even realize it. But it's really picking right up on that. You say, well, I've got the nature in me, but look, I'm the tiniest little mustard seed around here. I mean, you know, God's not using me at all. Well, here's the answer. Okay, I'm going to read it again. This time we'll try and get through this. There was a tiny mustard seed who was greatly depressed because compared to all the other types of seeds that he saw, he was the tiniest. The little mustard seed was small, like a grain of pepper. And he would just often cry saying, I can't tell you, anyway. I don't do it anymore, but boy, I've had my jags, especially in the beginning. I am worthless. I am the least of every seed that can be sown. Just look at that giant corn seed over there. It's huge compared to me. And it has a rich golden color. I'm totally insignificant compared to him. Well, one day a farmer hears the mustard seed complaining about its lack of size and power. And the farmer tells the mustard seed, well, you don't understand yourself at all. You're only looking at the outward appearance of things. Within you lies great potential. There is an image on the inside of you that has the potential to produce a plant that will be 10 to 15 feet tall. No corn plant ever grows that tall. In truth, you are much more mighty than the corn seed. Now the little mustard seed heard what the farmer said, but it was kind of skeptical. However, it knew that the farmer had much experience in dealing with seeds of all kinds. So it began asking the farmer questions like, well, if that's true, how in the world do I get the image that's within me to manifest itself? Prayer center, let me ask you, is that our question? Is that the question or not? All right. So the farmer replied, oh, that's simple. All that has to happen is that you must be planted in the ground and die, and the image within you will come forth of itself. Yikes! Yikes! At one of the conferences one year, I said, why don't you stay in the prayer closet? Well, because every hour you're in there, the Holy Spirit's killing the old man. It's like, okay, if you can picture this prayer closet right here next to me. Okay, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pray for about an hour. Shandarabakus, ow, 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 shandarabak, oh, 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 oh. And the Holy Spirit, he's trying to kill everything in you that's not like Christ. And you go, what the world did I, what? I'm not ever going in there again. I mean, there's something in there trying to kill me. That's right. That's right. I want to be big. I want to be powerful. All you got to do is die. Yikes. Yikes, said the mustard seed. All that I have to do is die? What's the matter with you? I don't want to die. I just want to be powerful. Right there, I can't help but think of Dave. God, can't you just give us revival and leave us alone? Oh, Lord. Well, the farmer said, well, but that's the way it is with every seed. In all of creation, there is not a single type of seed that can continue to exist in its present state and release the image within it at the same time. Every seed has to be planted in the ground and die in order for the image within it to come forth. Now, as a mustard seed, you'll no longer exist at all. You will no longer be able to be found, no matter how hard anyone looks for you. You still exist, but you'll be transformed in the process while the image comes forth in you. Whew. What did Paul say? It's me. Well, no, it's not me. It's Christ in me. You almost can't find Paul anymore. Becomes transformed to the image of Christ. See? So the seed responds, well, is there any way that I can remain as I am and still release the image within me? No, says the farmer. The transformation process won't even begin until you're willing to be planted in the ground and die. And there's something else you should know. The transformation process doesn't happen overnight. There is a growth process involved. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. The mustard seed says, now wait just a minute. First, you tell me I'm going to have to die. And then you're telling me that even after I'm willing to make the ultimate sacrifice and pay the highest price, I'll have to endure a long growth process before I ever become fruitful? If I'm going to have to pay the high price of dying in order for all this to happen, then I want to produce fruit tomorrow. Now the farmer asks, now wait a minute, what high price are you talking about? When I first heard you, weren't you complaining about how insignificant your life is? See, this is the part that helped me understand, unless he hates his life in this world. It's in this aspect, see. Weren't you complaining about how insignificant your life is? Weren't you going on and on and on about how worthless you are and how you so desire to have power? I'm telling you how you can exchange your powerless life for a tremendously fruitful one. And now all of a sudden you're placing a high price on the same insignificant life that you were complaining about before? Now which is it? Do you love your life as it is, or do you hate it? That's it right there. One of the greatest things that you can ever have in your life is frustration. You know, I mean, you're caught between two worlds. You've prayed enough where you can see the possibilities. You can see revival. You can see over there. But see, there's still a lot of Egypt in us. And we long for the leeks and the pots, you know, the cooking pots of Egypt, you know. And you're like, I hate sitting here watching this TV all the time. I know God called me to cast out devils and raise the dead. Well, come over here and pray. Well, talks about that. Now, he talks about that here. Watch this. Do you love your life? I think I heard God tonight. I think I come to the right place to preach this. Yes, it's getting hotter. Woo! He says, so now which is it? Do you love your life as it is? Or do you hate it? Which is it? Well, the little mustard seed thought about that question for quite a while. And then it responded, well, I'm not saying that I truly love my life as it is. But at least I'm very familiar with it. I know the life that I now have. And I know what to expect from day to day. Wasn't Alan talking about that very thing today? Learning how not to do it man's way, not to just schedule meetings and do things, you know, but have to listen to the Lord, and where you don't know. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know what God's going to do, see? So he says, I know this life that I now have, and I know what to expect from day to day. What you're talking about sounds exciting to me, all right. But I think I'm afraid of the unknown. What would that life be like? Here's a good question. Can the process be reversed once it begins? You could write out there, is there a plan B? No, says the farmer. Now, here it is. It can't be reversed, but it can be aborted. It can be aborted at any stage. Many seeds stop the growth process at the blade stage of transformation. They are changed from what they were before, all right, but they're still not producing any fruit. Now, they can remain at the blade stage for the rest of their lives if they choose to do so. Some seeds go on to the ear stage, and then they remain there. And at the ear stage, there are just the tiniest little buds of fruit beginning to form, and they show great promise of the harvest to come. But they choose to stop growing at the ear stage and never really become fruitful either. Only a very few allow the transformation process to go on to completion so that they bring forth a mighty harvest, the full corn in the ear. The mustard seed asks, why would any seed choose not to go on to the full corn in the ear? It seems to me that if you choose to die so the growth process can begin, you most certainly would not want to abort the process until the transformation was complete. Well, the farmer replied, right now you are safe in my barn. Look at me. Right now you are safe in my barn. If Dave was up here. Right now you are safe in my barn along with all the other seeds. But once you begin this process, see, there's a big difference between hearing the message and doing the message. You can be safe in the barn, hear the message for 20 years, and never change a lick. But once you begin this process, and you yourself, you are planted in the ground, it would be like you're taken outside, planted in the field, and once you become the blade at that stage, you'll be exposed to the elements of the weather that you've never really experienced before. You'll feel the scorching sun beating down on you. It's not always pleasant, but the truth is, you need the sun in order to grow. You'll feel the rain coming down on you, and sometimes it comes as a gentle shower, and you'll enjoy that. But at other times, it will come in torrents, and the wind will be whipping you back and forth. The rain isn't always pleasant, but just like the sun, you need the rain to keep growing. Not to mention the many predators that will come and try to take your life from you, such as locusts and grasshoppers. Here it would be wolves in sheep's clothing. False doctrine. Anyway, you should be aware that not all plants survive the growth process. Many just give up, wither, and some die. Gasp! Says the mustard seed. You mean it's possible that even if I was to begin this process, There's no guarantee that I'll make it all the way to harvest. The farmer responds, sad but true. Many plants don't survive. Boy, now get this. The most important thing for you is to concentrate on putting down deep, strong roots first. Don't focus on the fruit. Focus on the roots. Got that? Otherwise, when the sun is scorching hot, you will wither. Concentrate on the roots, the part of you that can't be seen. Don't pay much attention to what can be seen above the ground, even though that's the part of you that can be seen by others. Because if your roots, the part of you that can't be seen, are strong and healthy, the part of you that can be seen will be strong and healthy also. Now the farmer continued, it's also important where you are planted. The ground you are sown in must be free of thorns. It's possible that if there are thorn seeds there, they will become thorn plants, and they will grow up so thick they'll choke the life out of you, and you'll never bear any fruit. Well, the little mustard seed thought about this for a long time. Finally, he had to ask the farmer a question. I believe you when you say that I have this potential of tremendous life on the inside of me. I have a question. Where did that life come from? The farmer answered and said, there was an original seed sown by God. His name is Jesus Christ. He was the first seed in the earth and had the life of God in him. He was willing to be planted in the ground and die in order that more seeds could be produced by his life. When you were born again, you became the product of his sacrifice. You have his life within you, and it will sustain you forever. But if you want to bring his life within you to maturity, to full harvest, then you must be willing to lay down your life as the mustard seed in order that you can become the full-grown mustard plant ready for harvest. Are you willing to lay down your mustard seed life for the life of Christ within you? He died in the hopes that you would. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, isn't that amazing? Isn't the Holy Ghost a good teacher? I'm telling you that I remember the day that came, and I just sat there. I just typed it out. I can type faster than I can talk. I had a high school typing teacher that was unbelievable. And to this day, I can still type faster than I can talk. I typed that out just as quick as I could. I mean, it was just amazing. But you pray and you pray and you pray and you think nothing's happening. And then when the download comes, boy, it's something else, isn't it? Is that precious or is that, that just answers so many questions. So, now the part, prayer center, that we have to remember is the yikes. The yikes have got us. You know? We're somewhere, everyone in here, I don't think there's anyone in here that's still in exactly seed form. You're some kind of blade, some kind of ear. Everyone in here is not the same as when you started. We all know that, but we also know, not even Dave yet is the full harvest. Otherwise we'd be in the revival. We'd flat be in it, okay? So what he's saying is, look, we've all changed to a certain point, but we're kind of at the yike stage. We're kind of like, or that part where it says, well, I'm kind of familiar with where I am. Boy, he's trying to get us on over. He's trying to get us on over. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. We'll get there. Amen. I agree with that. Well, listen, I think that's sufficient for this evening. And if you want another copy of that or download it, we're going to have it in Adobe format at the website. All right.